Hi, listener. We'd like a bit of help from you if you don't mind. You can now vote for us to win the Listener's Choice Awards at this year's British Podcast Awards. If you're listening to this before the 6th of July 2020, then go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote and search for Pop Detectives to cast your vote. We'd be very grateful. Thank you.
The music business was mean. Mean like Elvis when he needed a sandwich. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door? Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
So, we're back.
We certainly are. Looking forward to it very, very much this week.
We don't let lockdown stop us. And thank you very much for not following me. Following me in my employment at the Pop Detective Agency.
Oh, I see. No. It's a strange word, that, isn't it? I can't pronounce it either.
I'd never heard it before. You don't hear before. And then
it's a brand new word.
Yeah.
I tell you a funny thing. I don't know if you watch more television than usual. Yes. And I find now, being in the detective business, I can't watch any more TV detective series because I find after the first 5 or 6 minutes, I solve it.
Very easy now because you get into a rhythm, don't you, where you know who did it. It's usually the special guest star. That's
absolutely
how I always guess.
The one I'm watching, Better Call Saul. Do you watch that?
I don't watch that.
It's great. It looks good. I don't understand it at all. I mean, the only thing I really understand, I'll be honest with you, is Heidi High, which I mentioned. I'm watching a lot of that at the moment. And it's it starts and it finishes. And it's a good story.
It's a classic tale, really. Morality tales.
Could we do it? Heidi High.
Howdy ho. It still works.
It still works, doesn't it?
And, you know, it's the same story every week. Yep. Spike's dressed up as a fireplace.
That's
Peggy wants a yellow coat. Ted's probably doing some fiddle on the side.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I want to ask you a very personal question, if you don't mind. Are you anxious,
All the time, struggling
to focus? I mean, who isn't right now? I'm bringing new calm to your day with Grass & Co. CBD oil. I don't know if you've tried it.
I have, Tony. Grass & Co. It's a premium CBD range that blends the highest quality CBD with therapeutic botanical ingredients. See, I'm pretty clued up about this stuff, Tony.
You are clued up, yeah.
And I've tried them all, and they're brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I find it really difficult to sleep at night, and they've got a product for that. You just spray it on the pillow, and you're off to sleep. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I like rubbing it in.
You always have done, haven't you?
Yeah, I have done, but my sciatic nerve, as yours is, plays up quite a lot. And if I just rub it where it hurts, I find that very therapeutic.
Well, when the lockdown is sort of over and we can visit one another again, I don't mind coming around with some of this wonderful Grass & Co. CBD oil and rubbing it in for you.
Thank you.
Well, what I love about CBD oil, some CBD oils can taste really, really not very nice, but this one tastes lovely, pepperminty, and it's great. It's wonderful. I love it.
It sounds like you're reading an advert there, but I actually do agree with that because I used to have one that I put under my tongue and it felt like I'd licked a grocer's shop floor. And now it feels like I'm walking through a meadow.
My routine is I get up in the morning, I put 3 drops under my tongue, hold it there for about 90 seconds because it seeps in, and then swallow it. And then I sometimes, not always, sometimes at midday I do the same, and certainly at nighttime because it does relax you so much.
Find your lockdown calm with grassandco.com. The calm CBD range includes botanicals, evening primrose, ashwagandha, chamomile, marula and mint to bring back balance to your day.
Delicious.
We've got a special offer for you, haven't we, Tony? Special offer.
We have got a special offer. Do you want to tell everybody about it, Ricky?
Of course I will. Find your calm with 25% off and free shipping at grassandco.com/pop. That's /pop. All you need to do is enter the promo code POP at the checkout and you'll get 25% off your order and free shipping. Hey, you know what a lot of people ask, Tony, when they're taking something like this? Quality testing. Now, I think this is important because Grass & Co. are the CBD wellness experts. They only use the best of the best organic CBD and botanicals. The products work with your body to deliver uplifting results you can feel instantly. All the ingredients, Tony, are sourced ethically and go through rigorous lab tests to test the CBD content.
Very, very important, because you want to know what you're putting under your tongue, don't you?
Safety is important. Grass & Co. CBD oils contain no trace of THC. Now, that's the stuff that makes you loopy. So, we don't have to sell it on the sly anymore, Tony.
That's terrific.
We can sell it on our podcast.
Yep, and while we're doing our investigations, we can be nice and relaxed about it.
Always relaxed. We don't have to do our podcast in the bath anymore, do we? Because that's how we used to get relaxed.
Well, actually,
yeah.
I have so. I don't know if you've got any of the CBD oil, but if you get in a bath,
you can put it in
there. Is.
I didn't get that.
Didn't you get that?
No, I didn't get. I didn't get that.
I should have shown you that.
No, I got the stuff under your tongue, and I got the muscle rub, and another bottle I haven't investigated yet. Oh, right. I'd like the bath.
That's that one. Discover CBD today. Visit grassandco.com for a better day.
It is. And remember, the special offer, find your calm with 25% off and free shipping. Enter the promo code POP at the checkout at grassandco.com/pop. Pop.
Can I do that as well?
You can do that. Can you pop?
Thank you.
Wow. Grass & Co. Life enhanced by nature.
Their brain neurons sparked like a faulty neon sign in a dark, rain-soaked alleyway. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Hey, Ricky, Tony, I think I might have uncovered the biggest music biz scandal since Milli Vanilli faked it and won a Grammy. All these gold and platinum records that get handed out, I've got a hunch that they're all the same record. Fool's gold, if there ever was such a thing. And I'm not talking about the Stone Roses here.
Okay, so, yes, discs. You've got some discs, I can see them on the wall behind you, on this video chat.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're not for my record sales.
No.
To be absolutely honest with you, Ricky, they're not for my record sales. The very big gold disc there is a collection of my favourite songs that somebody gave me for some anniversary.
That's a nice present. No. But they're not official awards for record sales.
Well, regrettably not, no, because as you know, I've made 29 records, 29 singles and 2 albums, and none of them sold very well.
But, well, I don't want to brag, but over my time I have had some gold and platinum records presented.
Yes.
And this might sound very ungrateful, but I do not have any anymore, because...
You don't have them?
I know, I've given them away.
Oh, my goodness me, why?
I've given a few to charity auctions.
Yeah,
I've given a few to my parents. Have got some.
Yes,
but I think I do have a couple of gold ones in the attic because I like the look of the gold ones because they're on a red background. But I would like it if you know when you went swimming years ago at school and you got a sew-on badge for your trunks.
Yes,
yeah. I'd like sew-on badges instead of discs. Little, you know, patches.
It's a little sew-on thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I could put them on my speedos. No,
well, it's not a bad idea.
I'd put them on a denim jacket. On the arms, saying, you know, 300,000 copies sold. I think that'd be, for me, I'd enjoy that more.
Were you a good swimmer? It's a matter of interest.
I'm a very, very strong swimmer. And by that, I mean, I panic a bit, and I'm not very buoyant. But you used to be a lifeguard.
Well, I didn't used to be a lifeguard. When I was at school, we had to be in the cadet force and things like that. Then I went in for this life thing because I like the badge. And so I... because I like badges, rather like you, I think. And the badge I got was a particularly good one, and I just had to basically go in there and drag somebody out of a swimming pool.
Did you ever have to do the thing where you had to get a brick from the bottom wearing pyjamas?
No, I never had to do that.
Oh, right. We had to do that at school. And I always thought it was very strange that you had to wear pyjamas to rescue a brick. And if ever a brick does fall in the pond, I quickly go and get my pyjamas, matching, of course, and dive in and retrieve the brick from the bottom of the pool. Oh, we better get back on track and talk about these discs. Because I had noticed when I still was in possession of a disc that the grooves, this was just by chance. I was walking past it and the light glinted off the platinum surface. And I noticed that, you know, when you look at a record and you can see how many tracks there are in it, because there's a little groove that you put the needle in before each track. I noticed that there seemed to be a lot less tracks on this 12-inch than were on the record we had out at the time. And I looked at, I A-B'd it with the vinyl that I had over the record, and it didn't look the same at all. Now, I never got out of its frame to play it, but it certainly wasn't our record.
that was made platinum.
So you're basically saying this is a record that they presented you, thinking yeah. that you thought that it was your record with a lot of gold or platinum on it.
Yep.
And you played it, did you?
No, I didn't play it. I didn't take it out, but I didn't know if it would
You just
play.
Noticed they weren't the right tracks.
I didn't want to risk my my diamond tip stylus.
Exactly.
And also I didn't want to devalue the disc that then I could send on to a charity.
I see, yeah. So many people don't even have a hit record, let alone the platinum records. I mean, you're looking at one now. I mean, I've never actually managed to get a platinum record. I've only managed to get in the top 40 once.
Whereas if there were awards for radio broadcasting, which there are, you've received many.
Yes, well, I've been very lucky there, yes, to receive, now you mention it. And my wife stopped me displaying them in a cabinet at the front door because... That's what I really wanted to do. I mean, you know, if you've got these achievements, I'm not the same as you, I don't think, here, Ricky. I like to show off a little bit. So if people come to my house, I want a big cabinet there to show how well I've done. One that I value more than anything else is my Blackpool Man of the Year Award.
Oh,
which it was in the 70s, I think it was, when I went and switched the Blackpool illuminations on and pressed the switch and only half of the lights went on, which wasn't my fault.
I know, at all, but that's an awful job because you've got to check every bulb, don't you?
Well, it was a yes. Well, exactly. Took me ages after that to put it all together again.
So, Tony, we need to find out more about these awards. Now, I know just the person. He's one of the head honchos. Is that still people still saying head honcho? Do you say that?
Yes.
Yeah, good. He's a head honcho anyway at the BPI, which stands for British Phonographic Industry. Who's been handing out these awards since the 70s. Now, this man, I'm going to get him on a conference call.
Yeah,
his name is Gennaro Castaldo. Gennaro Castaldo. Gennaro, that sounds like a pop star. Name. If you're going to receive an award and your name's Richard Wilson, like me,
I didn't believe it.
No. then you don't want to get it from someone that sounds like more of a pop star than you do, do you?
No, not at all. Not
Gennaro at all. Castaldo.
That is a great name.
Yeah. How do you do conference calls?
Just press that button there.
Okay.
That's the one.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Hello, Gennaro.
Hey, Rick, you're right. I don't know if I'm a head honcho there, but I've been around for a few years. I actually met you when I was working HMV before I was at the BPI. You did lots of in-store sessions, I think.
I used to love those in-stores, and these were back in the days where if you did an in-store, you were allowed to take a few records home with you. So we'd do any in-stores we could because we liked it. It was a bit like Supermarket Sweep, but in a record shop.
No, I think I remember that, but it was great fun, as you say.
It was. They were brilliant.
I've actually, Gennaro, never met you because my records haven't been exactly successful.
Well, but your role in promoting so many successful records, that's more important.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Tell us about the BPI, though. What does it actually do?
So it stands for the British Phonographic Industry, basically represents...
Pornographic?
Phonographic, thank you.
Oh, I'm speaking your pardon. I thought you said pornographic. I thought
maybe more successful, I'm not sure. But no, since... Since 1973, we've been representing the UK's record labels, big and small, so all the majors, but hundreds and hundreds of smaller indies as well. And right now, in these very difficult times, we're trying to see how we can help musicians and the artist community, because obviously that's a very important thing as well.
This is the serious stuff. Now, the fun part of your job must be when you get to give people awards and they think you're the best people in the world. So that must be good, though.
Yeah, no, that's great fun. So they're called the Brit Certified Awards. We get the data since 1994 from the official charts company because they track every single sale of an album, a single, or any track that's been streamed as well at the same time. So if it's a single, 600,000, that goes platinum. 400 is gold and 200,000 is silver. So they're the key thresholds there. On the album side, it begins at 60,000 with a single, then it's 100,000 for gold, and the all-important one, platinum, when your album achieves more than 300,000 sales. And obviously you've had...
Is that downloads? You're talking about downloads.
No, downloads, downloads count as an actual sale, but streams, obviously, they try to sort of work out an equivalent of what an album would be. So essentially... For every 1,000 streams, that's an album. And every 100 streams is essentially regarded as being a single.
So if I bought a record out and downloaded and kept clicking on my own song, I could become number one in about a week.
If you did that, many times, bearing in mind that last week we had more than 2 billion streams in the UK.
Oh, so it'd take me a long time.
You'd have to do it a few times, yeah. I don't know whether Ricky's done that a couple of times or not, but...
Well, sitting at home, clicking on his own song so he can get in the charts. Have you done that, Ricky?
Of course I have. I let it stream all day long when it's out, but it doesn't make much difference.
When you give away these awards, like a platinum record or a gold record, how do you make them up? Are they actually the record? Because Ricky has got one of these records, I think I'm right in saying, and it's not actually his record because it hasn't got the right tracks on it.
Yeah, I heard that, so I'm going to try to address that. So essentially all we do at the BPI is we authorise it, we certify it, and we notify the record labels when a particular recording of theirs has gone through a particular threshold. It's then up to them to actually decide if they actually want to order these discs and actually have them made up to present to their artists, songwriters, people involved in the production of that particular recording. And there's three or four suppliers, framers, that actually can be approached that we've authorized who can actually then get the disc made up. And they can make it any way that the record label might want it to actually be produced. Because obviously it doesn't just stop at a one times platinum. The most successful artists so far who are 21 times platinum are Queen with their greatest hits. So in terms of the highest recorded, that's actually them. So you could have all manner of records made up, but it does actually rest with the record company. Now, with regard to Ricky's point, that's probably quite shrewdly observed. He obviously knows his recordings very, very well. And normally the company would go out and they'd actually get hold of the original piece of vinyl and they would sort of spray that up and present that beautifully. I suspect what might have happened in this case is that there was a very urgent call saying we kind of need this for tomorrow or a week's time or whatever. And they obviously have records there on hand. They probably just sprayed any particular record and then obviously put the appropriate kind of wording on there to make it look like... So I don't know if I'm giving away anything I shouldn't say there, but I suspect... If you don't recognise that particular record, Ricky, that's maybe what might have happened.
I was thinking, if that's the case, I would desperately like to get some of my car boot full of our records to these framers and make sure that anyone that gets a gold or platinum disc in the near future, it's for it to be secretly a Kaiser Chiefs record that they have on their wall. And that would give me an enormous sense of gratification, and I'd feel pretty good about that. So I'm going to try and contact some of these framers and just send them a load of discs and say, just use these guys. Save yourself
why not?
Money.
You can secretly seed them out there for all eternity. Yeah.
Do you know anybody who's actually tried to play one of these gold records?
Do you know, I can't say that I do, and I'm not sure what the outcome would be. I guess CD would be more playable because famously in the 80s, you could spread jam on them and they would still play. I imagine vinyl is a little bit more delicate and probably the needle wouldn't cut through a layer of platinum or gold dust or whatever. So possibly the answer is no to that. But I mean, they're things of beauty. You wouldn't want to play them. You want them on your wall.
This is a funny one, Gennaro. I once saw a documentary about Quincy Jones and he was walking down a hallway and he had a gold disc of Thriller on the wall. And then he kept walking down and there was another gold disc and another gold disc for Thriller. And it kept going, it kept going. And then when he got to a staircase on this huge wall in the hall, they went up into a dollar sign that he'd hung on the wall in the shape of a dollar sign. I thought that was magic.
If you're Quincy, I'm guessing you can do that kind of thing. I once was able to tiptoe close to Simon Cowell's office and I've never seen so many discs on the wall, in the corridor, outside, everywhere. So I think that's probably the most amount of discs I've seen in any one place collected in one go.
I have been in a few label bosses' offices for meetings and when you go in, they have your disc on display behind their desk. And then you notice behind a filing cabinet, they have like 10 other discs of other acts that are probably coming in later that day to put behind them to make you look like the priority.
Well, so I had a little bit more information actually. So although Queen are the most sort of certified in terms of that particular recording, the artist who's had the most certifications that we've logged is actually Elvis, who's had more than 50, which is very impressive. And then, surprisingly, I think Rod Stewart not far behind at number 45. So he's the most certified sort of British artist in terms of the number of certifications that he's received. And then you've got Dylan, Rolling Stone, Status Quo, all the greats up there.
Those awards. Do you ever turn up when these awards are given out, especially the big ones?
I remember I was involved in one special one years ago when I was at HMV. We were once approached by Michael Aspel, the great Michael Aspel, when he was doing This Is Your Life. And they got in touch. They had found out that Errol Brown of Hot Chocolate, who sadly is no longer with us, he was going to do an album signing at HMV Oxford Street. And Michael sort of crept up closely behind Errol and totally surprised him as he was being presented with this sort of platinum disc.
Mike, talking about Michael Aspel, I had a This Is Your Life, and he surprised me. And yeah. Quite a few of the people on my This Is Your Life, I'd never heard of them before. Particularly, we had some... Because I was shipwrecked in 1966 at Frinton in the North Sea. Well, Frinton isn't in the North Sea. The boat was, and we ended up in Frinton. And we were taken off by some lifeguards. And on my This Is Your Life, these lifeguards turned up. And I thought, they can't be the right ones because they look too young. And at the end, I said, you weren't the lifeguards, were you? And they said, no, we just came up for the trip up today. But they weren't actually anything to do with my This Is Your Life.
Also, I've been looking at the latest sort of Kaiser Chief certifications, Ricky, so I don't know whether you'd be interested. But the very last one was Never Miss a Beat, July 2019. That went silver on 200,000 certifications, I think. Do you remember that single very well, I hope?
Well, I do. But I can remember the very first disc we got. We were doing Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway, and we were all very, I mean, this is probably 2005, and we were all in our dressing room, and someone came in with five big boxes, and it was the first disc we got. I think it was Gold for Employment, the record, and it wasn't very attractive seeing five men absolutely blubbing as they received their first gold discs.
Does everybody get a disc themselves in the band or not? Or is it just you, Ricky?
Yeah, everybody gets everything. I think even when we win Brit Awards, we get five. What we've gathered from this is that it is quite possible that when you receive your gold disc, and I mean when, Tony, it might not be your record. You're going to have to really push for that. But if you want it quickly, it might not be yours.
Well, I've been trying to talk my way into the Kaiser Chiefs, haven't I? And so far you've turned me down.
It's not that I've turned you down. It's just we have to wait for an opening, because splitting it all five ways is hard enough.
But if I join the Kaiser Chiefs now, would that mean that I could get some of those past recordings right?
Definitely, yeah.
I would,
VJ, the drummer, who's been for 8 years, I think he's got some of the old ones now.
Yeah. Because that's good.
To cover up the marks on his walls.
Yeah. Well, they're useful for that, yeah.
Thank you very much, Gennaro. You've filled us in quite... I think you've given us a lot of information to mull over.
Great.
And it's great to speak to you. And keep doing what you're doing, and I hope to see you well. And next time you give out an award, can you please come and give it to us and see five grown men blubbing? Because it's a sight to behold.
Thank you, Gennaro. Speak to you soon.
It was a macadamia, the toughest nut to crack. But these guys were the biggest nutcrackers in the business. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
So Gennaro there.
He was a nice guy. Yeah.
I really liked him, and I really hope to see him again one day, because it's either This Is Your Life or it's a gold disc coming your way. So yeah, he was great, but he did almost say that in certain situations it might not be your record in the frame.
Yeah, I thought we let him get away with that rather, because I think it's dishonest. In a strange story, but I didn't like to say that to him.
We were kind of good cop, weren't we?
Yeah, and I think, you know, at the BPI, he's one of the big cheeses, and you don't want to, have a go at a big cheese, do you?
No, because that would make you a big mouse.
It would. It would. Do you like cheese, by the way?
No, it's not. This is my one phobia. You know, I don't think phobias are things like fears of sharks, because they are actually terrifying. I think a phobia... In my case, is something that's totally irrational. But no, I have terrible fear of cheese.
Cheese? What do you think it's going to do to you then?
I don't know, but there's one street in Covent Garden where there's a cheese shop, and I won't walk down it, Tony.
Really?
And I, there is a good shoe shop on that street as well.
Are you allergic to cheese or not?
Dairy isn't good for me. No. But I think the phobia has come from that intolerance.
Well, it's understandable if you don't like it. I mean, I personally like a bit of brie. And
right.
a bit of cheddar.
But what I hate more than anything is someone saying to me, try this, because I won't try it if someone's been forcing it on me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've never liked horse riding. since I was put on the back of a horse and it just charged off with me like that, and it terrified me. So if I see a horse now, I mean, I don't have anything against horses, except they've got very big bums, haven't they? And well, I live in a little country lane and we have a lot of horses and it's difficult to get by them because of their big bums. And I don't know if they're... Do you think they're they are aware that we're laughing at their behinds or not?
It's not something that tickles me, a horse's behind.
I've never tickled a horse's behind either.
Horses for courses. Exactly. So we better get to another stool pigeon or someone that might be able to tell us what the ins and outs of this are. So I've got another contributor to
excellent.
Our...
You've been working so hard.
Well, I've got a lot of time on my hands, Tony.
Yeah.
Brian Barnes, he's from Award Framers International, and they're one of the licensed framing companies for the awards.
Oh, I see.
So we can ask him all about how the awards are made, and he'll be able to tell you for sure whether the awards are genuine copies or not.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Brian, are you there, Brian Barnes?
Hi, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can, Brian.
Coming in loud and
good,
clear.
Good, hi.
So, Brian, tell us a little bit about what you do and where you do it.
Basically, we produce the awards for you guys for the gold, platinum and silver sales.
So, are these discs actually made of metal, or are they just sprayed vinyls that you get from the shop?
But basically, they are the original vinyls, or that they are vinyls, and then we send them away to get them plated. Now, when we first started doing this about 20 years ago, we thought this is going to be nice and easy. We'll just go down to Halfords and get some silver spray, and away we go. But it unfortunately, it doesn't work like that because it turns out the vinyl is a release agent. So anything you try and put onto it, it just comes off again. So what they do is they put the vinyls into a vacuum. They electrically charge them, and then they evaporate or the metal into a vapor, and it sticks to the vinyls.
So I've received some very beautiful ones, and they are amazingly designed things, and they are beautifully shiny. And and I've always thought it can't be just spray paint because spray paint would be dull. But these shine like real metal, so they actually are plated.
Yes, you know, you've had a few of us off of us, Ricky, but
I have.
But not recently, I might add. So I don't know if you've been doing yours.
Not recently. You're right, though. I've got to get writing. So can you let us in on a secret? There must be cases where you don't use the actual vinyl by the artist involved and you replace it with someone else's record. Would it be fair to say that?
Yeah, that is a fair comment. What we do is, where possible, you always try and use the original recording. But because of maybe time restraints or availability, then we will use what we call a ghost copy, which is just a copy we have in stock.
Brian, what's your take on cheese? Do you like cheese?
Well, yes, I do, actually.
We're just wondering because Ricky's got this thing, this phobia about not liking cheese, and I particularly like cheese. And I'm just beginning to be talked round into not liking cheese by Ricky, and I just want to know if you like it or not.
Well, yes, I do. You know, I can't see any reason not to like it. So,
what's your favourite?
I'm a cheddar man myself.
Cheddar? Oh, my goodness me. We must get together sometime after this virus is...
Yes, absolutely.
We must all go out and have a nice cup of tea and a bit of cheddar.
Absolutely, or a glass of wine and a cheddar would be a lot better than a cup of tea.
Now you're talking.
So thinking about the awards and using other records, is there a particular record that you like to use that there's a lot of copies of that haven't sold, such as, I don't know, a Tony Blackburn record? That was a joke, Tony.
It's quite true.
Or do you just like have what's ever to hand?
Well, basically, sometimes if we can't get the originals from the record label, sometimes they send us some of their old stock. But a lot of the time I use a vinyl distribution company, which is local to us, and we buy up their redundant stock. So, yes, it's stuff that hasn't sold.
Wow. So it could be bargain bin stuff.
It could be, yes, yeah. You know, and
that's really interesting.
We do try and match the number of tracks. So if it's a four or five track album, then we do try and But the trouble we're having lately is everybody wants vinyl awards, but a lot of the releases of not coming out on vinyl, and especially singles. Mm. You know, these artists is just doing a digital download, and you know, and then everybody says, oh, you know, we've gone gold, silver, done a million or whatever, and you know, can we have vinyl awards? Well, we have two problems there. A, there's no vinyl, and also there's no artwork for the centre label.
And of course, the interesting thing is that a lot of kids now won't know what a record looks like.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's almost getting to the stage where they don't know what a CD looks like.
So, Brian, what's the most extravagant award you've ever made for an artist? Like with the most discs or the biggest or something?
The biggest one we did was for ABBA back in about 2004. And that was for, I think it was 360 million sales overall. And that turned out to be about 2 meters by a meter. And that had, I don't know, about 8 or 10 vinyls and about 12 CDs on it.
But nowadays, you can't gold plate a digital download. I would be more than happy to donate, because I'd like the Kaiser Chiefs record, one of our records, to be the gold standard, if you like, for the records that go to other people's houses. So if I was to provide you with, let's say, 2,000 unsold Kaiser Chiefs records, then you could just make sure they go in other pop stars' houses to make me feel smug. Is that possible?
You couldn't find 2,000 unsold Kaiser Chiefs records, surely, Ricky?
You should see my lockup, Tony. But what's the weirdest thing you've ever had to have framed for someone?
Well, I've framed all sorts of things. I've framed pistols. I had a pair of dueling pistols I've framed. I'm just thinking on the hoof now. But, yeah, basically anything that will stay still long enough.
Tony,
yep.
We're going to have you framed.
Well, that's very nice of you. That's nice of you. I think my wife would go along with that. Who's the artist you've made most for? Is there any artist that you've made more of these records for than anybody else or not?
Like, do you keep going, you know, when you're at the office, do you go to yourself, not these guys again?
Ollie Murs?
Ollie Murs, yeah, we do a fair bit for Ollie.
How many have you made for Ollie Murs? Have you made a lot of...
Oh, come on, Tony.
No, I'm just interested. That's all, Ricky. It's nothing personal.
All right, how many have you made for Ollie Murs?
Off the top of my head, I would say across his catalogue, about 100.
Oh, 100?
Wow.
But,
yeah. Oh,
that's a lot.
His walls are shining.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but they're not all for him.
Oh,
right. No, for him? Okay, that's okay then. Hey, I was thinking, it must be hard when you get someone going to number one, like the Military Wives Choir, and there's a shed load of those.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Do each of the Military Wives get one? Or do you think they just put it up in their clubhouse?
Yeah, I think what normally happens like that is that the record company will do you know, maybe a half a dozen or so, and then if they want them themselves, then they sort of have to put their hands in the pocket and buy them.
Wow!
So I could in theory commission you to make me an Ollie Murs disc, but it said something like 4 copies sold at the bottom. And I could put that on the wall and laugh.
Well, I mean, like, if you want to say it's not BPI certified, then we're quite happy to do it, you know. But if you want the hologram to say that it's official award, then
I could come to you, and I've made 29 singles and 2 albums or 3 albums, and I could come to you and get a gold record made up, although I haven't sold any of them.
Yeah, you can do, yes.
Wow.
It's not an official award.
When I get it from you, I could go to some geezer in the East End and say, can you just scratch their BPI approved on it?
Or when people are walking down your hallway, they're not going to stop to look for the hologram.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to start a business. We're going to start a business, Tony.
Yes.
We'll get loads of things framed and we'll
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Brian Barnes from Award Framers International. May your reign long last as the best quality framers in town that we know, and a 20% discount, please.
Lovely. Thank you very
much,
Brian.
Thank you very much indeed, Brian.
Thank you.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
Hey, looks like we've got ourselves a discount there at Framers, Tony.
I think we have.
Yeah. So when we redecorate the office, when we finally get back in there with, you know, the posters of all the jobs we've done,
for the detective agency, we've got a discount with Brian.
I'm going to get all my records gold pressed. You know, nobody's going to, I mean, because they came out of the 60s. Most of the people aren't alive anymore, so nobody's going to dispute it.
Exactly, and don't even think about the hologram, because people don't even know there is a hologram. So we can just, you know, if you want a disc on your wall, it's got to be your disc. We're old-fashioned men, though, aren't we?
Like, I've got a presentation, the first record I played on Radio 1. Now, I know it's the right record, because it is actually the record.
Is it Flowers in the Rain?
What Flowers in the Rain,
Should we have a sing song?
Yes.
We'll start from, not from the beginning.
It goes like
quite
that.
Hard, yeah.
And then woke up this morning, ding, 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 ding. Woke up this morning, sleep.
I'm just sitting, watching flowers in the rain.
In the rain.
Flowers
in the rain.
Watching the garden grow. Yeah. So we've got to come to the end of our investigation into the gold disc shenanigans, and I feel that we are correct in saying we can say that the myth has been solved, that yes, it's not always the disc that you said you were giving us on our walls.
Absolutely. So I think we've proved the fact that they're not genuine.
I think some are, but some I think some that slipped through the net are, but mainly I think that it's not the real record. So case closed. Let's get the stamp. You can stamp this week. I'll give you the
Thank you. Here we go. Case solved.
Perfect. Well, it's been lovely to see you in even on over the internet, like we are in lockdown. And but we're still getting the job done.
Yep, that's it.
It's a valuable service we're giving to the public, and I hope to see you again at the same time next week with more cases.
I look forward to that very much indeed. And have we got an address that anybody can send to us? You know, if we want to get there. What they'd like us to solve?
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. I think you can tweet us, and that's at Ricky and Tony Pod.
Yes.
Or you can email us at, what is it?
It's rickyandtony.com.
We just got rickyandtony.com.
Yep.
That's great. We should start another business to put through that. Merchandise. I'm thinking, you know, T-shirts, pencil
genuine
cases.
Gold records.
Genuine gold records.
Yeah, genuine gold records.
So, you know, maybe we can give out discs to people that have helped us solve the crimes, some of our contributors. Yep. That'd be great.
And eggs as well.
Yeah, of course. And on that note, thank you very much for listening to this week's Pop Detectives with me, Ricky Wilson, and on the other end of the line, Tony Blackburn.
Tony Blackburn.
There you are. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it. Like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.